Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, after losing a friend to tragedy, one person finds peace through signs that they are still around, even though they are not alive.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Share your real ghost stories with us or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want all the free stuff, all the bonus stuff, all the stuff that keeps us on the air, our EPP bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show, our archive of the world's largest audio collection of ghost stories, you get all that when you sign up to be a supporter of our show at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. We call them EPPs, extra podcast people. You sign up again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories, and you'll get all of that and more. Our ebook, our audiobook, also on there as well. You get access to that. It's like a $30 value instantly on top of all the other content. So it's Tony and Carol with you on today's episode. And what's going on in your world?
Not a lot, but I was going to ask you about yours.
Yeah.
So you and Harper went hiking over the weekend, and you posted some pictures. You sent me some.
Yeah.
So you guys found like an old house.
Yeah.
I guess. But so my question to you is, I don't know what's creepier. And I sat here and had a debate with myself going, what's creepier? Mm-hmm. A haunted house, or you find a house with a kind of spray painting going on in every room that you guys found. I found that super creepy.
It was pretty creepy.
It was just weird because it looks like crackheads gone wild.
Yes, it did.
It's kind of what it looked like, which kind of creeps me out that, you know, there was a time when people were just like going all crazy in that house and spray painting everything.
It was almost very Jesse Pinkman like on Breaking Bad, where they just kind of went nuts in the house with all the meth addicts.
Yeah.
But it was right off of a very well traveled and very nice hiking trail here in the Northwest Arkansas area. So I felt kind of okay going right by it because it was right there off the trail. And I shouted around, look, and made sure there's nobody around there. And there was nobody there. It's the middle of the day. So it was a great place to take some creepy photos. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking around on the ground for needles and shit.
Right? It's like, but, be careful, Harper.
Yeah, but we didn't really find anything that was drug-related, thank God. I'm thinking they probably have it pretty well picked up and fairly well patrolled as to where it is now. I'm guessing a lot of those remnants were from several years back. And quite honestly, when I went in there and looked around and took some of those pictures, I could kind of date when maybe this place had been kind of the little crack house that could, because... Which is a new...
I'm never going to look at a crack house the same way.
It's a new series on PBS Kids. The little crack house that could.
Flip this crack house.
Because it was like McDonald's wrappers and Wendy's wrappers. Like, I don't think McDonald's has had a wrapper like that in like 15, 20 years. So I was kind of like, okay, this was probably a while back. But it was still creepy. There was like a mattress on the floor and like parts of an old computer. And just, it was sad and scary but you know, creepy, and that's what we love. So we took a whole bunch of pictures and then continued on our scenic nature walk on the side of a mountain and got some really cool pictures of waterfalls and all that. And at the same
point, you really point, did.
Yeah. You get little crack house that could and waterfalls. So yeah. I tell you what, I do go chasing those waterfalls. They lead to the little crack houses that could that I'm used to. I know that I'm gonna take a picture of something at all, and it's little crack house that could.
So. Oh, don't go chasing little crack houses.
But I posted those photos also on I joined one of the groups in the area for hiking and stuff. And I started asking around on there yesterday, like, what are some other great trails that have abandoned places on them? Cause most people are, you know, enthralled with the nature aspect. I'm more up into the urban decay of these trails.
You know, to me, it's kind of, it's a creepy house when you find one that's abandoned. So the first thing you go to is haunted.
Yeah.
But then when you walk in a house like that, that's got to have a kind of creepy vibe to it anyway, mm-hmm. and see that it's been totally vandalized.
Yeah.
Then does that just piss off any spirits that were there because they can't do anything about it? It's great.
Yeah.
We were so happy in our little haunted house. And now...
It was a weird place, too, because it was really just kind of off by itself and there really isn't a road. And like, and I couldn't really age it either. Like, there were aspects that looked old and there was aspects that did not look old. So I don't know. I mean, this thing could have been built in the 70s or it could have been built in the 20s.
And it could have been built in the 20s and had the add-on in the 70s.
I almost kind of suspect something like that. And maybe it was almost kind of a hermit type house because when I walked around the house, there was no bathroom in that house. So I was like, this is kind of awkward that there's no bathroom in here. So I'm guessing there must have been an outhouse. And also it's off kind of in the middle of nowhere. So yeah, there probably wasn't any sort of plumbing that would run to that house. It was just weird. The metal roof and it was a creepy sight to see.
It was creepy.
If you want to see the pictures of the little crack house that could, look on, on my Instagram at Ghost Podcast, or you can follow me on Facebook or Instagram or wherever. And they're up there. Posted around January 31st is when you'll see those pictures that were put up.
It might be the little crack house that couldn't.
Yeah, I think it failed finally.
I don't think it can.
I got a really cool picture of Harper standing, just looking into like this this black doorway. And it's just the creepiest photo. And there's like a big heart that's spray painted on the side of the house, like right by where she's standing.
Yeah.
And it's just I sit there and I snap a gazillion pictures and you end up seeing like 10 of the 200 that I took. It was just a really neat, I don't know, interesting piece. This unassuming little girl that's so cute with her little fluffy ear hat on in front of this crack house.
It's a juxtaposition.
With a heart, the heart next to the door that she's staring into the darkness of. And Harper's like,
it was creepy.
Yeah, it was. But it was cool. She loves those sort of things. And I would never take her to any sort of place where I felt like there was legitimate danger or anything like that. I mean, there's so many places I see on the sides of the road I'd love to stop off and just go and take pictures. But those are the ones where there's likely people at. I don't think a lot of them are hanging out at the well-traveled abandoned crack houses off of high traveled nature trails in Northwest Arkansas. But hey, it's 2021. Who's to say? Let's go to our first letter of the day. Of course, our phone number is 855-853-4802. First one says, hey guys, Amber from Bend, Oregon. Came across your show about 6 months ago and was immediately hooked, became an EPP, and have been happily addicted ever since. I'd wanted to send in one of my many stories for a while now, especially when I heard how many others have had an experience with pennies. I thought I was the only one. I've had quite a few paranormal experiences in my 36 years, but I want to share the one that's especially important to me. Back when I was in sixth grade, I found my best friend, Lori. We were inseparable, couple of delinquent kids who found each other. We became like sisters, always together. Lori and I both came from troubled backgrounds, meth addicts, her parents, who are always getting into trouble in one way or another. In the end, though, we had each other through all the ups and downs. Lori had a very traumatic childhood. At a young age, she was raped by a family member. Her mother did not believe her and would lock her in her room. The family member lived with them, so the abuse happened frequently. It would kill me to listen to her, but I did because I loved her and wanted to be there for her. Lori had attempted suicide on multiple occasions and suffered from major depression. In high school at 15, Lori got a new boyfriend. I see a new light in her eyes. She was happy. She ended up getting pregnant at 16, had my beautiful goddaughter. She ended up moving to Alaska with her family. It broke my heart, but I was so happy for her. Lori was always the worst at self-sabotage, especially when things were going well for her. It was like she did not think she deserved happiness. She ended up cheating on her boyfriend, and he left her. She ended up flying home, picked her up at the airport. She confessed to me that she had lost everything and had taken a lot of pills to kill herself. I've always been supportive of Lori in any way I could, but I lost my shit on her. She had a daughter now, and this was not the end of the world. Skip forward a few years, Lori ended up going back to Alaska. She started life with just her and her daughter. We talked almost every day. That's until my demons rose to the surface. I got divorced from my husband because I learned he had cheated on me and had a problem with him since I was 17 and felt like my world had just crumbled. I, like a dumbass, turned to meth to numb my pain. I rode that crazy-ass roller coaster for 3 years and hurt a lot of people on the way. Lori is one of them. She understandably cut me out of her life. Just a few years later, I had been clean and sober for almost 3 years. I'd made amends with a lot of people. When it came to Lori, though, she was my kindred spirit, my best friend, and I was so ashamed that I hurt her. It ate at me and ate at me. One day I said to myself, I need to make this right. I sent her a message on Facebook, checked the status of it for weeks to see if she read it. I finally deleted the message on my end because it was driving me crazy. I poured my heart into that message, and even if she did not want to speak to me, I still wanted her to know what I had to say. But a month later, I was surprised to hear from her older brother. He was always with Lori and me and was also my first love. He'd give me updates on Lori and we stayed connected. He told me about the roller coaster of life Lori had had. She turned to alcohol and it had gotten worse. She was, I hate to say, not being the mother she should have been to her daughter. This resulted in the father getting full custody. His job moved him to Georgia, and just like that, her daughter was in Georgia and here in Alaska. The latest update he got from him was positive. She had met someone. He was quite a bit older than Lori, but she seemed happy. She had gotten her heavy equipment operator's license and was making good money in Alaska. One day I was relaxing, since it was my day off. I received a message from her brother asking me to call immediately. I could not dial the phone quick enough. When it came to that family, I dropped everything for them. He answered the phone and instantly I knew something was wrong. The way he said my name sent shivers down my spine. He proceeded to tell me that Lori was dead. I cannot wrap my mind around this. I managed to say, "What do you mean?" He said, "I said Lori's dead." "What? How?" I asked him. He was hysterical and could hardly talk. He said, "They're saying she shot herself." Everything gets fuzzy for me for a bit. I remember screaming, falling to my knees, and feeling like I had been kicked in the chest. I told him I had to go and hung up the phone. I screamed, I cried, I could not wrap my head around this. This was not right. This is not supposed to be happening. I cannot be true. After I do not know how long, I finally called him back. I told him I was sorry, but he understood. He started giving me the information that he had. She and her husband had been out and had some drinks. An argument occurred, and he had left. He came back the next morning and found her in the room, gun in hand, on the bed. I questioned this at first, but knew in my heart it was true. If he had told her he was leaving and she thought she was going to be alone, I could see her doing it, especially if she was intoxicated. She was always very impulsive and reacted before thinking. I hurt, and I hurt a lot. That is when the pennies started appearing, in the most random spots. At first, I didn't think anything of it until it was happening so much. After about 5 days straight of finding pennies in random spots, I finally asked Lori, "Is that you?" If it is making sure I find another penny tomorrow. Sure enough, I did. When I found it, I felt the sensation all through my body. It's hard to explain, kind of like when your arms fall asleep, but all over your body. I knew it was her. I could feel her and found a penny for almost 2 months straight. I kept them all on a shelf in my room. One day I did one of those Facebook, "Who is your best friend on your friends list?" quiz things. Lori and I had not been a friend on Facebook in a long time, and we were not at the time of her death. Once a test populated its results, whose picture is smack in the middle? Lori's. I cried, and I cried so hard. How could she have been on there if she weren't on my friends list? That sensation came over me again. September rolled around, and I made the 9-hour drive to her mom's house. The family all stayed together there as we were going to have a little memorial for Lori. Just us, as funds were short. We're going to release lanterns out over the bay and just remember our girl. We could not have picked a windier night to release paper lanterns out over the water. The winds kept blowing the flame out, and we could not get them in the air. Lori's brother, who was helping me light the lanterns, finally yelled, "Damn it, Lori, make the wind stop!" Just like that, the winds calmed. We got the lanterns lit and in the air. It was beautiful. And again, we both started bawling our eyes out. While I was there for 4 days with the family, I had confessed to her brother about writing her an email. I had not mentioned it before. He looked at me and said, "I know." I must have looked confused. He proceeded to tell me Lori had told him I wrote her. She wanted him to reach out to me, hence the reason he got a hold of me through Facebook. Lori and I were so close until my addiction. We're always the ones we knew would never hurt one another. And I had let her down. She was understandably hesitant, but was curious. So while he was giving me updates on her, he was also giving her updates on me. This made me so happy. I yet again bawled my eyes out. I obviously wished we had connected prior, but was happy she got to hear what I needed to say to her. Although I do not find pennies 5 years later, I still feel her with me. I still get those body tingles from time to time, and I always will ask, is that my girl? They always get super intense after that, and I love it. I have since reconnected with her daughter and have a piece of my girl back. Thank you for listening to my story. I have more dating back to elementary school, but this one is close to my heart and what I wanted to share first. Take care, Amber. Carol's crying.
I know. That made me so emotional.
Yeah. I knew
everything
it would with
about
the pennies.
That story.
Yeah. There was a lot of good parts, but I knew you could relate with the pennies. Yeah.
You know, and it was upsetting because, you know, here's two girls who were never set up for success. You know, the fact that they both ended up with addictions and in bad relationships and stuff, you know, it goes to their parents.
Yep.
And, you know, it makes me sad. But the pennies thing, oh my God, yes. Like, you know, and she said 5 years later, she doesn't find him anymore. But after she hears this story, I bet she starts finding him again. Because it's really funny, like, I'll think, you know, I haven't found one for a while. Or I'll get upset. Like, I've had a lot going on with my mom lately because she had a stroke.
And
And my mom and my dad weren't really very close. They didn't really like each other.
Sure.
But it's just been a lot on my mind. And like the other day, I was just like kind of wrapped up in myself and I'm outside and I look down, I'm standing right by a penny. And I'm like, you know about it.
Yep.
And so every time I find a penny, I always stop and have a conversation with my dad. You know, it's about what's happening today or, yeah, I've got a lot on my mind or whatever it is. But I always stop and have that conversation in my brain, not out loud. Then I would look crazy. I kind of am.
You might as well just do it out loud.
I am the person that's having a conversation prompted by a penny.
Yeah.
But
I saw someone doing that the other day outside of the subway.
So it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's, I think, you know, and like we were talking about the cardinals and I think butterflies, a lot of people see those, you know, I think there's just little signs like that.
There are.
And I bet I just would be surprised that she doesn't start finding him again. Now that she's put that story out into the world, yeah. I think she'll start finding him again.
It'd be interesting to hear an update if that does occur. Please do let us know. And I'm glad that you found the show.
That was a good emotional story.
It was. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
I am a newcomer to the Real Ghost Stories Online, but I am a grave keeper at the Grave Talks, Patreon, love it. And actually, I moved over to Real Stories Online because I've listened to every single episode of the Grave Talks, and I just need something else to satisfy my craving for the weird and the unusual, and you guys are the best and I love you so much. So anyway, here's a quick fun little story from a long time ago. I was a new real estate agent, and I was probably about 23 or 24 years old, and I got a call to show one of our new listings, and it was about 7 o'clock in the evening. The appointment was set for. The house had just gone on the market that very day, and I was very excited to show the house and make a sale. And just a short while later, I actually got another call for a second showing following my 7 o'clock showing. So turns out I had a 7 o'clock and a 7:30 showing. And I show up to the house, which is vacant, at, you know, just before 7 o'clock. And I meet my first potential buyers. a family, a husband and wife, and I believe that they were alone. It was a long time ago, so I can't remember exactly, but they walked in to this 1970-ish split-level home that was just very tastefully done and, again, vacant, nothing really spectacular, just a very nice family home. And when they walked in, we shook hands and introduced ourselves, and I said, as I normally would, please, you know, help yourself and show yourself around. And so the wife sort of walks around, walks away from us, the husband and I, and he stands there and proceeds to tell me that this is the home that he grew up in. And I said, oh my gosh, you know, how wonderful for you. I'm so happy that you get to come back and check it out. And, you know, you're thinking about buying your childhood home. That must be exciting. And he said to me, just very blatantly and without any sort of apology, oh no, I'm not here to buy the house. I have no intentions of buying the house. I just wanted to come back in one more time, and see my old family home. By the way, this home is haunted. And feeling so awkward and not knowing what to say, I said, oh, okay. That's hilarious. And, you know, I don't know what to say at this point. I'm sort of between a rock and a hard place, I guess, because now I realize I'm not going to make a sale. And now I just basically have a couple of looky-loos that just want to walk around and take a look. And add to that now, this guy has sort of made me feel a little bit weird by telling me that this house is haunted. And at the time, I clearly have, I believe nothing of this, and think it's probably just, you know, this guy wanting to see his old bedroom or something like that. So he proceeds to walk around the house and says, you know, everything looks just like it always did. And, you know, here's my bedroom. It was up here in the back. It was the bedroom all the way at the end of the hall. And, you know, thanks for letting us walk through and hope you have a great night. And that was it. Off they went. And I thought, what a monumental waste of my time. Here I am trying to make a sale at 7 o'clock at night, and these people just wanted to come in and look around their old stomping grounds. And so it was just a short while later that my second appointment showed up at 7:30, and it was the nicest young couple, a husband and wife with a brand new baby who I would guess to be less than 6 months old. They walked in, and again, I gave them the spiel. Hello, nice to meet you. So happy you came. Please help yourself and show yourself around. And if you have any questions, I'll be right here in the living room, kitchen area, you know, if you need any help. And almost immediately, the baby started to fuss. And as I was trying to explain, you know, the layout of the house and where the bedrooms were and, you know, where the bathrooms were and how nice the kitchen was, the baby really started to fuss a lot more. And she started to become almost kind of inconsolable. And I felt, you know, I felt bad for the new parents because the mom was sort of shuffling the baby back and forth on her hip and trying to get her to quiet down. And you could tell that she was just kind of getting a little bit embarrassed. And I said, you know, it's fine. Why don't you just go walk her around? And, I let them walk through the house and sort of show themselves around, and I kind of followed behind them, but maybe a few paces back to sort of give them privacy to be able to talk and look through all the different rooms. And, you know, obviously I needed to see the house myself. And so I walked around with them and took a look in all the different rooms and in the basement and everything. And it looked pretty much like a 70s style split level that had had a few upgrades, and it was really nothing special or out of the ordinary. But again, all the while, this baby is fussy, to the point where the couple actually came back to the kitchen area where I was, and they said, you know, we need to go, and we're so sorry, we apologize, but we just cannot get her to calm down. And, you know, it's sort of distracting at this point, and I completely understood. And I handed them the listing information, the papers that I had with me, and we're standing in the kitchen. And no sooner did I hand them those papers than the light fixture in the kitchen that is affixed to the ceiling falls straight from the ceiling onto the floor and shatters into a million pieces. We look over. Obviously, we are completely stunned. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to act. And I apologize profusely. And I said, you know, is everybody okay? This light fixture fell within 2 feet of all of us. And so there were shards of glass just literally everywhere. And they were very startled, understandably. On top of the baby being fussy, they had just had enough of this showing. And they said, you know, we're so sorry. We're going to go. We'll be in touch with you. And I said, absolutely. And I showed them to the door. And of course, I showed them to the door and I shut the door and I came back and I stood in the kitchen and I looked and I said, what in the actual hell just happened? How did that light fixture fall completely out of the ceiling and for what reason? And why were we standing right next to it? And I was like upset thinking whoever put that light fixture up there ought to be told about themselves because that thing is dangerous. It could have fallen right on one of us. It could have fallen on this mother holding her child. And I look up at the ceiling and, you know, the actual entire light fixture, bolts and all, is gone. It's on the floor and there's just bare wires hanging out of this ceiling. And it takes about a heartbeat for me to realize that the first showing I had and what he said to me, and that was all it took. I remember him saying, this house is haunted. And all of a sudden, everything just started flooding into my mind. This baby crying, this light fixture falling down, these agitated parents. And immediately I realized I was standing in this kitchen completely by myself. And it was now probably about 8 o'clock at night and it was dark outside. And I was scared to death. I had to go through this entire home and I had to shut off every single light, including the basement, including all the bedrooms. And I'll tell you, I could not get out of there fast enough. I'll be surprised if I actually lock the door or shut it completely. Before that moment, I really had not much experience with the paranormal that I knew. Now being older, I know that I had more experiences, but at that point, I was just a young kid, really. And I had just had a very odd experience that I couldn't explain. And so I hightailed it out of there and I never looked back. And the next morning I actually went back to work and I knocked on my boss's door. She was the owner of the company. And I said, I need to talk to you about something. You know, I showed our brand new listing last night and I remember feeling so foolish and thinking, she is never going to respect me again after I tell her this. And I said, I thought about it a lot and I feel like this is something I need to tell you because I don't know what the real estate laws are here and I don't know if this is something that we need to tell people, but I showed the house last night to the previous owners of the house and they told me the house is haunted. And of course, she just gave me that grin and shook her head like she'd heard this story a million times before and she just said, before you ask anything else, no, we don't need to tell anybody and nobody needs to know about that story. And according to the laws in our state, nothing has ever happened there. And she said, you don't need to mention it again. In fact, I'd prefer if you don't mention it to anyone else but me. And she said, you know, that's not something that we want to advertise. And I stopped short of telling her what happened in the house because I felt like, she probably didn't want to hear it. And to be honest, I didn't want to repeat it. And it was something that sticks with me to this day. I still can't explain it. Could have been nothing. Could have been some faulty wiring. It could have been some shoddy work. It just could have been, you know, a very big coincidence. But that 1 hour of my life was very, very spooky and left me with a very big impression. So thanks for listening to my story. I'm so excited to hear all the stories to come and I love your podcast and I think you guys are great and I keep up the good work. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing that. That was a great real estate story.
I have wondered about that with realtors before.
Yeah.
Like, because you are going into a house, you don't know. I mean, you probably know a little history of the house because you have to know the basics, but you wouldn't necessarily know if it was haunted. And you're in the house at weird times of the day.
Yeah.
And I've thought about that before. And then to hear that story, I'm like, oh my God, it really does happen.
It does.
Like, how does a light fixture fall completely out with all of, you know, normally if one of the, it's not screwed in right, one of the screws stays in.
No, I think it was yanked out of the ceiling is what it sounds like with bolts and all. I mean, it's hard enough sometimes when you're purposely trying to get a light fixture off of your ceiling that it's stuck into those, some of those things so hard, or somebody, you know, stripped a screw or they put it in the wrong way. And trying to pry those things off of them. I've had ones I could literally hang off of and it wouldn't come out. So for it to just be torn down like that, I mean, that there was something that pulled that thing with massive amounts of force.
And then with the, excuse me, the family coming in with the baby that was so upset.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would probably be like, this house is haunted. This house is haunted. Like, I can get that out of my house, my head. But with the baby being so fussy, then that's distracting.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what's the matter with their baby? And that's just crazy. I wonder if she had to go back and show it again. She must not have. She would have said something.
I wonder what the ultimate story of the house was. But I mean, I wonder how frequently that happens where real estate agents get people that, I mean, and that's why as if you're an agent, that's where you do the whole pre-qualifying and before you even really start showing them, just so you're not wasting your time left and right like that. But, you know, when you're kind of starting up, you're probably going to take anybody that you can get, you know, to just kind of get the balls rolling. But just to have that, because I've thought of that before of, because there's so many houses that I see that are for sale that are like abandoned or have been abandoned for a long period of time. I need to like befriend like a local real estate agent and be like, hey, can we go like look at some of these? I just want to go take pictures. I'll buy you dinner or something. You know,
just, I just see houses like there are some houses in my town that are just freaking amazing and so haunted. Like you just drive by them and it's like, oh
yeah.
But I want to go in them so bad.
Yeah.
Just to see what it looks like on the inside. But you can't really just go up and knock on a door. But I have friends, I haven't done it, that like there was a house for sale for a while. And it every picture had orbs in it.
Oh wow.
And so you know him. He used to work at the radio station. And he went and looked at it. And I said, was it creepy as it looked? And he goes, oh, yeah, it was very creepy.
Really?
So I thought, that's a good opportunity is for someone like us to go in and look at the house with no intention of buying it.
Yeah.
I saw one the other day, a little rental house, just because I don't know why it popped up on Facebook Marketplace. Because before I bought this one, I was looking to rent. So I still see rental properties coming up.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the house, and it looked like it was probably, you know, built in the 60s or 70s. And it's like a kind of boring little kitchen. Oh, that's kind of an ugly little room. And then it's like, holy shit, there's orbs everywhere.
Yeah.
And then the next picture, orbs, orbs, orbs. The next picture, orbs. Then no more. Like, there's about five more pictures, no more orbs. I was like, oh, hell no. Who would go rent that house?
There was one that individual sent me a while back. It's been a couple of years. It was a real estate picture too. And it was, there was like an apparition in it. And it was just like, oh my, and it was legit. Like he sent me the link to like the Zillow listing. So it wasn't like, you know, I found this on Facebook and take a look at this. It was,
and whoops, we accidentally Photoshopped this in.
Oh my God. It was just like, wow, that's creepy, weird. And I'm the worst person at seeing ghosts in photos, and people say, I'm always like, huh? But I don't think, I mean, but so many people will see much more than I see in the photos. I don't know if that's a sensitivity thing or they're looking for things more than I am. I don't know. But when it's that clear that I'm like, holy shit, that's a good photo. because
some of them are kind of like baby pictures when the baby's still in the womb that you kind of look at it and you're like, is that a baby?
A squid?
Or what is that exactly? Yeah, exactly. Now, Harper's, I remember Harper's picture. It was like, it was an alien or a devil, something like that. Her little picture was all messed up.
Which one? Because she had two. She had a black
sonogram.
She had the black and white sonogram that looked bad.
It was black and white.
But okay, then there was one that was kind of that sepia color, and it was like a 3D image of her, and they were just starting to do those at the time. And it totally, I still have it. It so looks like her. And I was so amazed just how accurate that was when she came out that I could already knew what her little face was going to look like.
The other one was, I'm like, what are you having?
The other one, yeah, she was a snake.
Boy, girl, or what is that?
I know.
But I do that a lot with ghost pictures because people will be like, can you see this?
Yeah, no.
I'm trying to see, what are we looking at exactly?
I'm not good at seeing the visuals. I can pick out EVPs pretty good if I'm listening to it. But even then, I mean, that's all kind of up to conjecture unless it's a real, really good one, like a Class A where it's just clear as day. The ones where it gets kind of muddy, it's like, I like tuna fish. Is that what it said? That's an odd.
Or like it'll say, and listen, it says, I like tuna fish. And so now I'm listening for I like tuna fish.
Exactly. And that's why you can't have somebody tell you what it says before you hear it.
And really what it said was, hey, what's up?
Exactly.
And, like, you know, so you tend to, even with the ghost pictures, it's like, do you see the blah, blah, blah in the window? And I'm like, no. Yeah, kind of. And then you kind of talk yourself into that you saw it.
And that happens. And it's, you know, it's the power of how our brains work. It's always trying to make sense. And if somebody's giving it the roadmap as to where they should be going, it's going to get there sooner, whether or not that's truly what we should be perceiving or not. We're already told out of something somewhat sketchy, this is what it is. So your brain's like, okay, it is what it is. And then you're like, okay, yeah, yeah, sure. But
I wonder if there's other people who do that. They see like the orbs on a house for sale, and then they just go look at it just to see if they pick up on anything.
I bet there are.
I would think it's common, right?
I bet there are. I'm going to start like perpetually looking for a house, even though I'm not moving anywhere. Just to like every once in a while, can I go see this one? Because there was one that I looked at here before it came to the farm. And it was such a neat house, and it had been like in this family since like 1840 something.
I remember you telling me about
that. Oh my God, it kept getting built onto and built onto and built onto. It was almost, you know, it wasn't Winchester like, but in a smaller sense, it was Winchester like because it made no sense. Like, this is a weird room.
Stairs to nowhere.
Yeah. Doors
to nothing.
There was like one bedroom. You had to like go on a spiral staircase on the side of the house, cross the roof, and then go through a door on the roof to get into this bedroom.
What the hell?
And it's like they were just, it was probably a family that had a whole bunch of kids. And it's like, where are we putting Jim Bob? Where are we putting, you know, Sally Mae? And like, well, I think we can build a little shelter up here on the roof, Pa. And they did. It's just the most bizarre. But there was so many. I like places like that because I'm weird and I could make so much fun out of those houses and make them look really cool. But at the same point, who the hell's ever going to buy that thing again? And I can only imagine the mold and the this and the that of a property that old and how much would need to be gutted and changed. And it's just, you know, I'm not a millionaire. I haven't won the lottery. So. But it was a neat place. It really, if someone had a couple million bucks,
tour it.
Yeah.
But don't buy it.
If someone had a couple million bucks and they wanted to, you know, just kind of go nuts on an old home that has a ton of history to it, that would have been a really cool one to do it with. Because there's just
Jim Bob house.
Yeah. It was just, it was a weird one. And it still sits. It's still standing. I almost wonder, I don't know. It's in an area where there's a lot of development and I could see it probably, you know, somebody buying it for the land and knocking the house down at some point. And it probably would be more profitable than trying to rehabilitate the property. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person. EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus material, the largest audio archive of ghost stories in history. $5 a month, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. For Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.